earth must be.
There's a name you should know in British politics who does want to go it alone. That's how it must be, says Boris Johnson.
We could strike free trade deals with America, with China, with the growth economies around the world, with our officials. And I think if we have the self-confidence to do that, to take back control of our money, take back control of our borders, take back the ability of the people of this country to elect and to remove at elections the people who really take decisions about this country.
He's the man leading the charge for swift exit or Brexit from the EU, former London Mayor Boris Johnson. In a little over 2 weeks, the UK will hold a referendum on whether the country should stay or leave the European Union. The British Prime Minister David Cameron is leading the case for Britain to remain in the EU. Barack Obama agrees, although, as we know, at least we think, he can't vote in London. Guido Harry used to be Boris Johnson's or Bojo's spokesperson, and he says the man is the one to watch in UK politics right now.
He's no longer Mayor of London, but he's a Member of Parliament. He is the betting shop's favourite to be the next leader of the Conservative Party. But one of those politicians who certainly reaches beyond where most politicians do. He is recognised in the street. He's generally liked. He's a bit of a celebrity. So he has transformed something that was a bit marginal into something that is very mainstream. And his use of language and his natural charisma and showmanship has brought this debate alive.
Is Boris Johnson someone who's hardcore? Was he there at the beginning of Brexit, or has he seen it as a political opportunity for himself?
Well, that's a very interesting question, John. I mean, traditionally, Boris Johnson, and from the days when I worked very closely with him, I always thought of him as both culturally and intellectually pro-European. He grew up in many ways in Brussels. His father was working for the European Union. He went to school in Brussels. And though he then came back to the UK for university, he chose as a young reporter on a newspaper to go and cover the European Union. So he chose to spend a chunk of his adult life there. He's fluent in French, pretty good in German and Italian, and he's a classic scholar of Greek and Latin. So he's very, very European in his outlook. He's also a liberal capitalist who believes very strongly in the free movement of people and goods and capital. So there are many people who are surprised, even myself, knowing him as well as I do, that he took this stance. And invariably, what some of the more sceptical commentators have said is that he took the stance that he did because he thought that this would enhance his prospects of being chosen as the next leader of the Conservative Party, because the Conservative Party itself has always been far more sceptical about the European Union than the wider British public.
Guido Harry, in many ways, this is an argument, though, that has gone back for a long, long time, that Britain has always wanted to have, the UK has always wanted to have a clear distinction between it and the European continent. And there was this argument when the common market was the issue at hand. And it was understood that it was a throwback to think that Britain would be all by itself, that the UK would stand alone, and that it was somehow insulated from Europe by behaving in this way. Has that argument fundamentally changed? Has a pendulum swung in some way? Because it seems the content of the argument is not so dissimilar from what was going on in the 1960s.
Yeah, you make an interesting point. There is this strip of water between us and the continent, and it does change the dynamics. There is the mentality of, even we're a group of nations. I'm a Welshman alongside the English and the Scots and the Irish. But we are separated from the continent by a strip of water. And in many ways, we have been more of an island in our approach. So we weren't there at the beginning. Many people were not convinced when we first joined the common market. There was a referendum in 1975. And within the Conservative Party, it has been a very, very divisive issue since the departure of the late Margaret Thatcher as Prime Minister. And it has, in many ways, kept the Conservatives out of power for a while. And one of the great triumphs of David Cameron on becoming leader of the Conservative Party initially was to take the heat out of this issue. Unfortunately, now it's raging very, very fully. And over the weekend, we saw former Prime Minister John Major battling head-to-head with Boris Johnson, and the bitterness and the rivalry and the acrimony could not be louder. And I think that reflects what a powerful issue it is within the Conservative Party in particular, but as you suggest, for some people across the UK in general.
Well, it will be a very hot set of weeks leading up to Wimbledon as this referendum comes to pass. And we may have a lot to talk about at Wimbledon once we get on the other side of this. Gudo Hari, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Gudo Hari used to be Boris Johnson's spokesperson. He's a political analyst in London.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.